Well, it is Tuesday talk show time, and we have City Council here in the studio today. Mayor Clint Scherf and City Council President Victoria Marshall. How are you two doing today?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
Doing well. Thank you.
Excellent. It's good to have you both on board here. How have things been going this last week? I know we didn't have a City Council workshop or meeting this last week.
No, we had, you had a workshop on Monday, right?
Had a workshop on Monday.
Excuse me, there was
so we had a workshop on Monday. So this week is, League of Oregon Cities, which is one of our lobbying groups, and the city's, really involved with them. They had a fall conference up in Portland, so we had a handful of, some of our counselors, as well as myself, went to Portland to attend. I think it was about a 3.5-4 day conference. The nice thing about the conference is you get to meet with and kind of rub shoulders with council, city councilors, city administrators, and mayors from all over the state. This one being hosted in Portland, we got to kind of rub shoulders with a lot of people from some of the Portland area cities and so forth. And some of the topics that we discussed during the conference revolved around, obviously around some of the housing for the homeless, as well as there was a lot of legislative kind of download from the last legislative session, since this is a lobbying group, League of Oregon Cities. So they kind of give these conferences as a chance to kind of educate everybody that attends. And so you get abreast of the new legislation coming down that we have to deal with and work around. usually some hot topics. It was kind of mellow. It was interesting because a lot of the presenters were from the city of Portland or from neighboring cities. And the wild thing is people think Portland is big, but realistically the jurisdiction of Portland is kind of small, and then you have all these suburb cities all the way around it. So if you kind of join them all together, they are in the Portland metro area, but they don't think they're all Portland. They think they're all their own people. So yeah, we had lots of presenters from some of the suburbia areas and towns and stuff, you know, Tigard, Beaverton, right. Newburgh, and so forth. And it was interesting because they were all really trying to get the idea across that Portland's such a beautiful, beautiful city, and it's very safe. So it was interesting how they opened all the sessions, but very educational. So there's some new legislation coming through. I've got notes upon notes that I have to digest before I can actually divulge some of the information.
Oh, gotcha.
Or actually regurgitate it, not divulge. It's just like I gotta go, you know, you're pulling in so much information so fast, you're just trying to get it all down. And then once we digest it, then I'll basically be passing a lot of information around. There's a couple good things that are coming down from the state, and there's a lot of interesting things that I personally think are kind of bad, but we'll have to hash that out and determine that once we start dealing with them.
Gotcha. You had mentioned the homeless issue earlier, and that is a statewide situation, not
Absolutely.
Just here, but I know in Portland they're struggling with that too.
Absolutely.
So a lot of similarities, at least as far as what they were discussing with
There was a really good session. Washington County, which is, I believe, the people that were presenting from Washington County, they had a study that they did over the last few years. And there were some representatives from the town of Beaverton, and they were kind of talking about how I defined it. It was like a Rolls Royce version of how to deal with the homeless. And they were talking about their success in developing and building out some shelters, and how they had some partnerships with all the state agencies, and they were getting so much federal money and so much state money. And then they had a small partnership with the community, and had some, you know, some private investors that were dealing with that were kind of adding to the pot. And basically, it was just a session of telling you all about how well this programs were going and everything. And it also included they actually reached out and started dealing with car camping.
Car camping?
Yeah. And so they would take – and their model was to go and work with maybe a religious-based organization like a church and say, hey, you know, do you got a couple parking spots that we could dedicate to overnight camping?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And if they did that, then they could partner with the city of Beaverton, and there was some funding available. Now, if you established an overnight camping in a car in a parking spot, you had to have some bare minimums there. You have to have a toilet, a porta potty that was set forth. You had to have a washing station. And then there had to be some kind of security as well, too.
Right. Certain necessities make sure everything just kind of runs smoothly.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. And, you know, the crowd kind of perked up and start asking lots of questions and everything. And it was really great. And they also, specifically, this was the city of Beaverton. They also had a handful of private areas that they were using city facilities. And it would they wouldn't put more than two or three parking spots together. Because there wasn't like an overnight security guy there, but there was some monitoring, and so they didn't want to get it out of control.
Right.
So the conversations were talking and everything, and I got to sit in there, and I was like, oh, I'm really interested in how much this would cost. So, you know, like I was just about ready to raise my hand, and then somebody pops their hand up and says, oh, so what kind of funding? So the city of Beaverton said, well, we have – five spots with parking spots in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, that's 15 parking spots. And he's like, well, we just spent $100,000 on that. And yeah. I was like, whoa. So I did my little math. So you're looking at $6,600 a parking spot.
And well, that's like, a chunk of change.
That's
right
interesting.
There.
Yeah. And the crowd kind of got a little soft and somber at that point. But then somebody else asked a different question. It went on and on and on. So I got some literature from these guys from Beaverton, from Washington County. They have this. And once you actually get into literature, you see that there is a lot of money that's being allocated towards this. The problem I'm seeing is the difference between a large city and a smaller city like ourselves is they seem to have a stronger and a more dedicated conduit to the state and federal level to actually get those funds. So one of my missions coming back is to figure out how we find where that highway of money is coming from.
Yeah.
And maybe see if we could get some clawed back to our community a little bit to deal with our situation. So, but it was very educational, very interesting time last week.
I believe it. Now, Victoria, did you have a comment about that?
Yeah. Well, I was going to add, we had a program that was started under the previous council, that people could apply for allowing people to be in their parking lot.
Yep.
And we had precisely zero applications, as I remember.
Yeah.
And then we, so I don't know if there is a great deal of interest in our community for that, but we weren't going to give money to places to.
Yeah. The interesting, if you break into the history of that, there's always been something in the ordinance that allowed for churches and nonprofits to utilize their parking lots to help the homeless out and or car camping and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been restrictions on it. Mm-hmm. Specifically, you know, you had to have porta potty, you'd have wash stations, and then some of the previous rules, you actually had to put a chain link fence around it and had a 24-hour security guard.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And this goes back to, you know, probably previous to 2017.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I know is I was actually a counselor during 2018 to 2020. So this was part of our topic when I was actually serving as a counselor. And, so you didn't have a lot of people, a lot of churches, organizations buying into that program in the beginning because it was a little bit expensive, had some time to it. And then I believe, previous council had kind of taken back some of those regulations that were required and offered the program up with a little less restrictions to see if anybody would bite for it. But yeah, they told us when we came in that no churches had run to the front of the line to say that they wanted to do this, which, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, it just means that's a topic that's not hot. So let's move on and try to find out other solutions.
Yeah. I imagine if more restrictions are taken back, the liability would increase. Is that right?
I would believe so, too. I would believe
probably
so, too.
Really, what I think what we need to focus on when it comes to the homeless situation is a statewide solution.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should know at this point that we have House Bill 3115, and that is the bill that we were under the injunction for. We settled that lawsuit so that people could get their parks back here, and I'm really proud of the council and city staff for having done that.
That was a big move.
Yes, and However, we must take 3115. We must be vocal about it. We have to change it. The citizens really have to voice their opinion that this is taking away local autonomy, and that local communities have a much better grasp on what they need for their local communities. So their hands should not be tied. And 3115 was passed, I believe, in 2022, 2023, which was it?
Yeah, it was sometime in that area. I don't remember.
It was, and it's while our previous lawsuit was going up to the Supreme Court, and we eventually won that.
Well, the interesting, not to interject, but let's clarify that. You are on the right target, but let's get to the perfect target on that. The interesting part is when you look at the timeline, the City Grants Pass was embroiled in a lawsuit started back in 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. And we went all the way through the Ninth Circuit Court of the United States, basically.
Wow.
And at that point, then once you're denied from the Ninth Circuit, then you can apply for SCOTUS, for the Supreme Court. And I believe the federal administration had changed over a little bit, and Oregon legislators had noticed that Supreme Court judges had changed over and the sentiment of the Supreme Court had changed over. So sometime in between the Ninth Circuit and us actually getting the ticket to get to the show to go to SCOTUS, that HB 3115 legislation actually got put in place. Because,
interesting timing.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, and you talk to a lot of people. I got to bring it back up. The League of Oregon Cities, it's got a lot of lobbying people in it. A lot of people that run that actually are lawyers and in the legislative area, and you know, they're political lawyers and they're legislative lawyers. So when you go to these conferences, you get the most education from the bright people, right? And you know, they always have a conversation. Any of these conferences I go to, they always want to have a conversation with the guy who's from Grants Pass, because you know, that's the most prevalent lawsuit that's been going around for the last 5, 6, 7 years. So, but yeah, anyways, I get a lot of information directly from them, and I kind of take it with a heavy grain of salt, because it's I know it's got so much fact to it, and it has more information than I could ever learn about. So yeah, it's interesting that I have been afforded those opportunities to speak with those people. This last session that we were up in Portland, the conference, they talked a little bit about there's still a groundswell in regards to the HB 3115 and getting it repealed. And so it's still beautifully on my mind. It's still there's still a groundswell to get that repealed, because there's a lot of people in our state that feel that it's misplaced and misguided and puts too much restrictions on the smaller communities.
I think one of the another aspect of 3115 that people might not be aware of is that it was litigated in our local jurisdiction, but if it were taken to Ashland, to Beaverton, to Hood River, the outcome might be different. I don't think, and if it wasn't, then that would be something that would be a very interesting legal question. Why did Hood River come up with a different, objectively reasonable standard than Grants Pass? So, and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, different communities have to have different fixes. But under a legal standard, you should have one legal standard when it comes to a law. So 3115 is very problematic. And even so, we are, as a community, really tackling head on this issue. And we are trying very hard to make it work for the entire community so that everyone is safe, and that is what we're attempting to do.
Yeah, I mean, when you break it down to it, the counselors and myself, your local government people here, we're doing this job, and I always have to reiterate this volunteer unpaid job. It's for the betterment of the community. I think you serve so because you want the community to thrive, you want the community to be safe, and I think anybody and everybody you talk to within the community here wants the same objective. You know, they want a safe place, they want safe streets, and they want, you know, a place to be happy and, yeah, and survive very well. And it's amazing because you start running around and he's talking to more people in our community and more people. And there's a handful of people that I talk to all the time that are just like, you know, I've never been here before. I showed up, visited here, vacationed here. And he's like, never want to left. So I moved. It's like so many people come here and they love this place so much. It's like they never want to leave. And some of them don't. Mm-hmm. So that's how a good percentage of our population growth comes from, people that come from the outside and never want to leave because it's so awesome.
Right. Yeah. Well, my guests, Mayor Clint Scherf and City Council President Victoria Marshall, will continue with the Tuesday Talk Show in just a moment.
Call or text 988 anytime and talk to someone who's trained to help.
It is 9:51 on the dot. You are listening to the Tuesday Talk Show right here on KAJO. City Council in studio today, Mayor Clint Scherf and City Council President Victoria Marshall. Well, you two, we've been discussing a little bit about homelessness, but also we do want to mention something very, very pertinent to our local community here at the Caveman Pool. I know this has kind of been a discussion for a while now, but it sounds like we're making some headway. Is that right?
Yes, it has been a very long while, and the pool opened this year after a delay. As people might be aware, the pool has a terrible, terrible leak, and the leak cannot be fixed. So the pool needs to be fixed, and we tried to see if other community organizations wanted to take the pool over and to take that expense off of the city.
Right.
We got massive emails talking about the need to keep a city pool. And so it's something that the community is very interested in keeping. And so at our Monday workshop, we discussed the possibility. I think it was $6 million to begin with to fix the pool, but we've now whittled that down to, the city is going to commit $1.5 million that will come out of the Urban Renewal Agency to go towards the pool. One of the the fixed is not tacked down, but
it was just considered.
Things that we might consider is putting a lining in the pool, and two other things that might be considered would be improving the deck. I remember one of the other items was even talking about putting more amenities at the pool that would bring families in to stay there for the day. And so those were discussed. One thing that it was me who brought it up. I said, why don't we get the community involved? The community really wants this pool. And the city really can't afford to do all of these things. And so we directed staff to look into having a community event.
Like a
fundraiser where the community can get involved. It could be a really fun community event where it would be advertised and just be fun for all to come and to figure out a way to get the rest of the way for the funding of the pool. So the city is not bearing the brunt of the entire cost. Because on the one side, most people feel that a city of our size really does need to maintain a city pool. I mean, most cities of our size have one, and people love it. It's heavily attended. I think, oh gosh, I'm going to say the incorrect number, but it was at least 14,000 visitors over this last summer. Mm-hmm. And I hope, don't tie me down to that number, but it was a lot of people. And so there's that pool is heavily used, and it's something that the city, that the councilors decided that they wanted to support. But the other side of that is there are people who are very concerned with us spending that money because the city simply doesn't have the money. Yeah. Maybe that's not the absolute correct way for me to say that, but the city has a lot of expenses and a lot of very important items that are coming up very shortly that we need to attend to. So anyway, those were some of the things that we discussed at the workshop. So we think that the pool will be open next summer and that it will be improved. And it may, out of this, we may come up with a really fun community event to keep it, to make it even better. So that would be fun.
Was there also the potential for sponsorships mentioned at the,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that was the line of questioning that went down. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just interesting because basically this pool is very old. I remember as a kid, you know, growing up here and using it for swim lessons and so forth. We look at the grand scheme of thing, it's a very old pool. So in order to basically redo it completely, meaning tear the whole thing out and redo it, that's where you get multi-million-dollar price tag in it.
Yeah.
If the funding was available and we could do that, yeah, we could do something and actually extend the timeline on that pool too. Because realistically, when you look at it, your season is basically between 70 to 75 days long. That's it. You know, out of the 360 days. So you're just like, okay, so it is only summertime deal. So one of the aspects of actually looking at, you know, rebuilding the pool from the ground up would be to bring something, you know, indoors, bring a cover in or so forth on it. But yeah, it gets pretty high price tag on that. So even the fact that we're dealing with a very, very leaky dike, if you want to talk about it that way, a very old equipment, even throwing $1 million at that thing is only going to rehab it for a good another maybe year and a half or so, or 2 years on that. And we're still constantly. And the crazy part is that there's so many moving parts to actually a pool system that, so you fix the leak in the pool and now the boiler goes out or the pump goes out or this goes out. So it's like, it's 100 different cogs in the wheel there. So it's always a challenge. I was very confident that the council would get this thing going forth, and all the efforts with the discussions and setting aside money for the pool is just to get this thing up and running next year and maybe get a couple more years out of it and try to find, you know, future funding sources that we could accumulate some funds, or, you know, a few years down the road, we get to the point where we do have the funds or we've raised the funds that we can redo the pool completely.
Right.
From the ground up. So yeah, a lot of things that we're discussing are bare minimum fixes just to keep the sucker going so we can, have an activities for our community during the summer.
Definitely. Well, we'll have to take another break here, but then we'll cross over into the 10 o'clock hour, and then we'll start to be able to take some questions from our community. But again, we have City Council here in studio today, Mayor Clint Scherf and City Council President Victoria Marshall. We'll continue here in just a moment. It is 10:02, and yes, the Tuesday talk show continues now with City Council here in studio today, Mayor Clint Scherf and City Council President Victoria Marshall. Well, I did want to double check because I know we'll have a new workshop coming up next Monday. Oh, and actually, excuse me, before we get to that, I do want to remind folks that we are accepting your calls, 472-1270. If you have any questions for City Council today, you can give us a call. And once you hear me coming through your headset, you'll know you are next in line to ask your question. So be sure to call 472-1270, and you can ask a question for City Council. Now, I was going to ask about a sneak peek maybe of what's coming up for the next workshop this coming Monday. Anything we could mention?
Sure. We have council procedures and the caretaker's cottage. So that's a historic building in Riverside Park. And one of our counselors, longtime counselors, Joel King, kind of spearheaded making sure that that's a protected building. And so that we are going to discuss options for that building at this workshop. I don't have a lot of details about that, but I do know that there are counselors who want to see it protected and maintained rather than raised.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
All right. I did also want to ask about funding in our community, because you guys draw that from a lot of different sources. Mm-hmm. Any updates on that?
As specific question?
I guess that wasn't super specific.
It's a little general.
I suppose. Well,
because we could go hours upon hours on explaining how we actually make the money and how the money gets from point A to point B, but did you have a specific question about funding?
Well, I think we were talking behind the mic earlier.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, excuse me.
So that brings a conversation. Yeah, we did have a conversation off mic. the LOC, League of Oregon Cities, I just got out of that conference. I explained that earlier. One of the sessions was regarding some funding sources for mm-hmm. affordable housing. The whole West Coast, including Oregon, has high building costs, has high livable costs. So there's always ideas on trying to get state funds and federal funds back to the communities and their funding sources. So there was a new funding source that came up that was mentioned that I noted. And I'll take a couple steps back first.
Okay.
Yeah. City Council put forth, so the City Grants Pass has now started a new grant program that is basically a building incentive grant program. So when somebody builds something, you have a lot of what they call soft costs before you actually get your construction loan and you actually take the money from the bank that you're getting loaned from the bank. Those soft costs include site prep, municipal work with permitting, your architect's work, your civil engineer's work, you know, a lot of work up front before you actually move a scoop of dirt on your land. And as anybody that deals with that, you understand that when you get a construction loan, you actually don't actually get a dollar from the bank until you get your building permit. There's a lot of expenses. Okay, that's yeah. just a small synopsis. So there's always a funding gap when it comes to that's why housing and building houses is not necessarily affordable sometimes because there's a lot of gaps in there for funding. So there's a new program that comes out of big it's sponsored by the state, but it also taps into federal resources as well. And it's basically the acronym is MIRF or MIR or something like that. So it's moderate income level loan funding programs. And what this does is it actually aligns perfectly with actually the grant program that we just established for the city and for the builders and the developers in our community to actually shore up those grant processes. And so there's going to be, and we're looking into that right now to see how to get it, because when it was announced, this funding source was announced at this conference, they said that they only had two cities in the whole state of Oregon that actually knew about it and actually were
really?
So this was like, hey, we got this. And so hopefully, you know, I'll be one of the second people on the phone to try to figure out how to get this down here. And basically what it does is, it's a conduit for our community to start to pull back federal taxes and Oregon taxes that have already been taken out of our paychecks. Mm-hmm. So this is money's already been taken out. It's already up in the sphere there. So if we're not doing our due diligence as local facilitators to try to get as much money back in our community as possible, then I don't think I'm doing my job right. So that's how I'm tackling this one.
Gotcha. It sounds like it'd be very helpful.
Yeah, thanks.
And then that's coming to all communities. Do you think there would be a difference as far as money is received depending on the county?
I believe there was. Again, this is kind of just an introduction for me. So I'm going to be figuring out, you know, more and more, as well as I'm working with Dana, our Department of Economic Development Director, and we're going to ask all the right questions and get all the right answers. But I'm presuming it's the same way. It's going to be either towards population of your community or the need for your community. But I kind of want us to be at the front of that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then these funds, we could put them towards?
So they're specifically going to go towards building and development. So
okay.
Housing, to support housing. So there, when you're building a house, from moving the shovel of dirt to putting the key in the front door, it has to have a constant funding stream. And usually there's gaps in that. And between the builder, the homeowner, and the bank. And so, as well as unforeseen expenses, as labor costs go up, as material shortages, which increases material costs, so forth. There's just a long laundry list. It's kind of like riding a roller coaster. It's not a straight highway.
No.
So basically, what this does is anything that comes down from the state of the federal government, it's going to be what they consider incentives. So it's to get the people to get the builders, the developers, to actually pull the trigger and start the process instead of going, hey, I've wrote it all out on a piece of paper and it doesn't pencil out. Well, now there's a funding source that's there that when you're penciling that in, you've got more confidence to actually get that build started, which builds more houses, which builds more doors, which gets people through those doors.
Yeah, and as far as building more here in the community, I know we're kind of locked into the valley, sort of, but would we be able to, you know, just depending on if we built up or out.
Yep. And so there's a lot of when you go up to the state level, there's a lot of state changes that they changed, which increases density in areas. So instead of a single family house, now you can build multifamily, duplexes, triplexes, so forth. I've heard from the building industry, which brings up a very good point. We actually, I took office in January, and one of my premises was to basically get growth and development going. So I started reaching out and talking with builders and developers and realtors and people in the community. And there was a lot of disconnect or animosity towards the process of actually building. Mm-hmm. So we have established a task force with local people such as builders, realtors, developers, civil engineers within the area. And the task force has been set up to actually go through our development code, our processes, and see if there's anything that the city can work with them and get the process a little more efficient, a little streamlined, a little bit, take down a few barriers if we can. So that task force is, we're in our third week of meeting. And that's community and government partnership right there. And so basically it's all towards the idea of how Grants Pass can get more houses, get more doors for people to walk through.
Definitely.
And it spurs, you know, economic development. You know, mm-hmm. any construction will do that, and it will create jobs. It will help the local building supply places that are here right here in Grants Pass, and we need that. Yeah. And when we were all running, we decided that one of our focuses was going to be economic development and promoting business. And so this is doing just that. Yep. And we're very serious about it. And the only way that you can increase funds for what the city needs to spend it on are, not the only way, but two main ways are we can expand our, you know, economic base, or we can raise taxes, and we do not want to do that. The people do not want us to do that. And in fact, we just were able to, were you finished with that? Okay. So one of our campaign promises, one of our platforms, as I said, was economic development, and this does just that. Another one was supporting fire and police. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might not be aware that we were able to put in, is it six? It's six each, isn't it?
Six and six, yep.
Six and six. Six more fire and six more police. And we did it without raising taxes at all.
Wow.
And so that is a real benefit to our community. I think that our fire and police departments are thrilled. And I think the community will really see a benefit. So what this council, and with the mayor's help and definitely with city staff's help, has done in less than a year is pretty amazing. So, and we're going to keep doing it, and we're going to keep focusing on our four platforms, which were fire and police, mm-hmm. business development, balancing our budget, and dealing with the homeless situation. We have covered all of those in less than a year in really substantial ways.
Excellent.
Yeah, as well as deal with a few extra, you know, hurdles as we go along.
Those are bound to come up, I'm sure.
Well, it's kind of funny because you bring everything and you throw everything out on the table. It's like a big giant puzzle. So if we can get more houses, we can get more doors, then we can attract bigger businesses or manufacturing style businesses to come in, because they're going to need the actual employees. And if we don't have the houses to put employees, then they're not going to look at our neighborhood. So it's every piece of the puzzle works in congruency with the rest of the whole puzzle. So if we're only focusing as a local government, if we're only focusing on one thing, like, you know, rebuilding a caveman pool, then we're not actually doing a service to the community, because you have to balance and you have to juggle everything, because everything has basically a butterfly effect against each other.
Everything's connected.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, we talk about the homeless. The homeless has always been a hot topic in our community. We've been dealing with some adverse conditions for over the last 6 to 7 years. Our parks have been taken over. Our community areas have been taken over. We've done our best. Previous council, as well as us, have done our best to claw back all of our public parks and public spaces, which we have control of them right this second. But yeah, we do have a situation where we have homeless pretty much in the middle of our town. So that doesn't attract businesses to us. So that's why the council is, you know, desperately trying to figure out how to get those out. We have a grant process that's through our second process now, is in still, I believe, an application taking process. We have about a week and a half. I could not be perfect on that number, but there's still a small amount of time period where organizations can submit an application. The grant is worth $1.2 million to facilitate a piece of property for to be dedicated directly to, you know, establishing a shelter for homeless people so we can take them out of the downtown area there. Like I said, the application process is still open. There's, I think, just shy of a couple weeks left. I'm not sure exactly what that deadline is, but after the deadline is closed, the council will review the applicants and with the best plan and program, and then we'll go forward and hopefully we can start down the path of healing our downtown community there.
That's right. Victoria, did you have a thought on that one?
No, I just, well, yes, I have many thoughts on that, but I think that Mayor Scherf really covered that very well. It's something that we are exceedingly concerned about and really are doing all that we can to make sure that that's remedied for the downtown, remedied for all the citizens of Grants Pass, and we spent a great deal of our time on that, but we have also managed to do these other things as well. And the big problem always gets most of the attention, as it should, but other things are happening that are really exciting as well.
Yeah. And we'll bring it back full circle. You know, I've talked with you this morning about how I've educated, and I've been educated, and so you learn more and more every single day. But your local government, your councilors, and your mayor, we have the privilege of getting educated about the legislation, about the laws, about the municipal code that we live underneath. And so we do have that's what's guiding us, or actually maybe hindering us in certain aspects, on what we can and can't do and how we're trying to proceed and make a prosperous community. There is a lot of legislation and laws that is higher than our community level in regards to the homeless and how we deal with them. It is kind of lost a little bit. It's hard to actually continue to, or maybe not have enough time in the day to actually explain every constraint that we have to go through on the state level in regards to this. But there is a lot of statewide constraints that don't allow us to just pick up that magic wand and go, poof, you know, we've got the problem solved and
Make it go away.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not necessarily my actions or inactions, or Victoria's actions or inactions, or any other counselor's actions or inactions. It's basically we are acting underneath a prism, a network, a net, a chain link fence, whatever you want to put it. There is a whole amount of state legislation that we have to abide by, and that really curtails a lot of the actions or the strong actions that we take in each situation.
See? I did want to add that the grant for the homeless grant, it closes this Thursday, October the 9th. So that is the deadline. It's this Thursday. So I just wanted to add that. Yes.
I just got that text from our city manager. So that's how involved our staff is. The city manager just gave me a text and said, here, reiterate, it closes on October 9th on the grant process.
Yes.
That is just amazing, a testament of how awesome our city staff is, how dedicated they are to this community and making this community prosper, and giving us the success that we can have. They are behind us 100%, and I just can't give enough props to our staff. They're just amazing, amazing people. So this whole community needs to sit back and say, yeah, we can sleep better at night because our staff is behind us 100%, and their actions are 100% driven by making sure that this community is prosperous and safe.
Definitely. Well, Aaron, thanks for the texts, by the way. I wonder if he's listening right now.
Probably. I think he is.
Excellent. Well, we'll continue with the Tuesday Talk Show in just a moment.
Jedediah, living local. It's a rogue thing.
It is 10:22, 57 degrees in South Grants Pass City Council on the Tuesday Talk Show. This continues. And, of course, just want to remind you, you can give us a call and let us know if you have any questions for City Council, 472-1270. Call us up at 472-1270. We'll get you on the line here. And if you hear me coming through your headset, well, then you know you will be the next in line to ask your question. Again, 472-1270. Well, we were kind of talking a little bit earlier and just about how connected not just you guys are, but also the community connected to the workshops, the meetings, tuning in. Is that right?
Yeah. No, it's amazing that we do have the city has a lot of conduits for the city, for the community to be involved. Our workshops are usually on Mondays. You know, they are viewable, watchable by the public. We don't have public engagement during that time because it's kind of an educational session for the counselors. It's kind of dedicated to discussion about educating on topics and so forth for the counselors. So we really hone in on that. But it's also live streamed in on YouTube, and mm-hmm. it's so people can watch it. Our Wednesday night meetings with our community involvement, public involvement, are also live streamed as well as watched. It's amazing because I sometimes go back and rewatch them, or I have friends in the community that watch them, and I've been told that the ticker count on some of those Wednesday night meetings gets up to 3,500 people that are actually live watching that.
Wow.
And it's amazing to see the community involvement, that the community is paying attention, that the community is watching. But, you know, if it ticks up to 3,500 people live, that's not even counting the people that watch it off being live. So it's a testament that our community is very, very involved. And, that's awesome. I mean, you should be. It's your community. You know, if you're not involved, then you can't complain, really, right? So, the city does a lot of outreach to the community as well. The city website posts a lot of information. There's a newsletter that comes out. There's a manager's newsletter that comes out. We're at this point too. City staff is evolving with technology and new platforms. So now the city staff is actually developing a small podcast, which it's the same premise as what our website and our postings do, is it's to get the information out. But we're acknowledging that there's another media source, that another media avenue that we can capitalize on. So that's what, you know, it's nothing new. It's just basically just taking a different media format to get that information out to the community in a podcast form.
Right. Another avenue.
Exactly. So, stay tuned for that. We also do community connections over coffee.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have one scheduled this Friday with myself and Counselor Nichols. And it will be at Lonely Pines Coffee Shop. Now, maybe some of you haven't heard of that before, but what we're trying to do is get out in the community into some of the smaller local businesses. So, you know, Starbucks is great, Dutch Brothers is great, but you know what? Rogue Roasters is great. Mm-hmm. Some of those staples were actually evolving and getting out to some of these smaller areas. So Lonely Pines Coffee Shop is in the center of the Hive off of G Street. And just a small little thing. This business is a testament to how strong and vibrant our community is. It's run by a brother sister, very, very young. They've been only running it for a few months, and the story is they used their life savings to buy this. It was already built out, and so they used their life savings to buy it, and they've been running it for over 6 months now, and it's a great little, beautiful little coffee shop, but it's a testament to entrepreneurism, community drive, and giving back to the community. So as a city, I want to utilize that for one of our connections. We're doing it on Friday, and so I employ everybody to come out. Let's fill the place up, and me and Indra will be there for answer any questions, and usually goes on for about an hour, and yeah.
Excellent. Yes, you just come on by. That's a cool story.
Yep.
I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah. Great people down there. Yeah.
Very cool. Man, did you have anything?
Yeah, I was going to add about the upcoming podcast. I know that counselors are excited to get more information about how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But some of the things that I know that we heard are that in the podcast, there will be council meeting updates, department program highlights, policy highlights, and community features. So the podcast right now, and again, counselors will get more information on this at an upcoming workshop or a meeting, but it right now is scheduled to take place twice a month, and it should be pretty exciting. So even though, like Mayor Scherf said, there are a lot of people who watch those workshops and Wednesday night meetings, this will be yet another way for people to get involved and feel like they're informed about what's happening in city government. So that's good.
Yeah. And they won't need to feel like they would be missing out if they weren't watching or reading something else.
No, the premise of the podcast is, I think I mentioned earlier, it's not reinventing the wheel. It's actually taking the information that we're already putting out. So maybe you've got five pieces of information that are put out on our website or on the City Grants Passes Facebook. But maybe you got to go to five different little places to get it. The podcast is basically kind of concising those in one little spot. So we won't be taking that information away from the website or the Facebook. It's just another avenue to kind of summarize everything. So we're not necessarily reinventing the wheel. We're just using another media format to get the information out. And it's like, I don't know. If we're not evolving with the times, then we're going to get left behind. So I think it's just a great thing that the city staff has come up with, and I think it's great.
I mean, podcasts are pretty hot these days.
Yeah, they are. They are. I've done a few of them myself, and we have a handful of local guys that do very good podcasts. Mm-hmm. And we have previous counselor. Dwayne Yunker, who is now our state representative, he comes back and he's done a handful of podcasts with local guys, and we have a number of local guys that do great podcasts. So yeah, it's it is a new medium form, and we need to capitalize on that.
Definitely, we have a little less than 1 minute before we get going. Any final thoughts from you two?
Well, it's been really nice to be here. I'm happy to let the public know some of the things that we've been doing and things that will be coming up. Please contact City Council through email, come to workshops, and come to City Council meetings with your public comment and let us know what you think.
Yeah, same thing. I don't think... I know. this current council is myself is some of the most accessible government people that you can get to. I personally have cups of coffee and field phone calls on a day-to-day basis. I'm always reachable. Most of these counselors are always reachable. As a group, as a body, we've made ourselves accessible to the community. So, if the community isn't asking the right questions, then, there's an avenue to ask that question. So just, I employ the community to continue to be involved. And, thank you for everything that you're allowing us to do. And tomorrow is always going to be sunnier than today. So keep your chin up.
Indeed. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And that'll do it for this Tuesday talk show right here on KJO.